Welcome to the Six Figure Developer Podcast, the podcast where we talk about new and exciting technologies, professional development, clean code, career advancement, and more. I'm John Calloway.
I'm Clayton Hunt.
And I am John Ash.
Today we're going to talk about charities. That is, giving to charities and helping out with charities. Okay, so the first question is, why should you give anything to a charity, be it time or money?
Yeah, so I think I can go there. I guess the to begin, it is sort of the season, right? We're coming onto the holiday seasons here. Here in the U.S., we have a season Thanksgiving where we really celebrate sort of being thankful for what we have and grateful for what we have. And then we go into a holiday season where we oftentimes sort of give very generously to others. And so it is a time to sort of reflect on kind of what you've gotten. And I think that's probably the biggest thing is that, you know, no matter who you are, no matter how you've kind of got to where you are at, you couldn't have done it without the people and without other people, giving of themselves, making things kind of, available for you, whether that's anything from, putting together documentation, open source materials, podcasts, teaching, blog posts, speaking engagements, people just giving their time. And so there really is a need to say, hey, recognize that and sort of give back to those people and give back to kind of our community as a whole, and say, I was given something to help me get where I'm at, and now I want to sort of repay that. What do you think, John?
Yeah, and there's you know, the idea about being charitable and donating time and money towards charitable organizations or organizations that could use outside help is always something that comes to mind. But teaching, speaking, and being a mentor in the community is also an act of charity and giving back to the community and helping people along the way. Whereas I would assume that we all agree that someone has helped us along the way in some form or fashion. So it's always a good idea to see how we might be able to be generous and give back, whether it be time, money, speaking, mentoring, or just a special gift.
All right. So to that end, we've got a couple charities on the website that we recommend that people support and that we support. Wow, you want to go through those, Ash, and say what they are, and then we can talk a little bit about each one?
Sure. So we have listed here, we have the National Multiple Sclerosis Society. There's also St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital, the ASPCA, Come to Their Rescue. We have Waterstep. There's the Humanitarian Toolbox, Habitat for Humanity, the Boys and Girls Club of America, Doctors Without Borders, and Susan G. Komen, The Race for the Cure. I know, John, you have some knowledge about the National Multiple Sclerosis Society. Would you like to share some of that?
Sure. So my father was diagnosed with MS in the late 80s. And that was a time then that I was quite young and really didn't understand everything that was going on and went to as a family to a couple of different organizations and meetings to kind of gain some knowledge about what is this disease and what can we expect as a family and what is known about it. Come to find out there was a National MS Society charitable organization that helps with funding, with research, with all kinds of help with families and people that are suffering with this disease. My father passed away in the mid 2000s. So he lived quite a long time with the disease. And shortly after he passed away, I really kind of dove in at that time, as a way to kind of deal with that grief and, donated a lot of time and money, volunteered with the organization quite a bit. They've got a lot of like bike MS or MS bike bikeathons and marathons and running and biking events. But there's all kinds of ways to get involved or donations or just spreading of information or supporting research. So that one's one that's kind of near and dear to my heart.
So you said there were lots of different ways to get involved. Are there any specific ways that they ask for people to get involved on their website or in some of their documentation?
I mentioned the running and biking events. Those are usually they're larger events for the seasons or for the years. So those are the ones that seem to get the most marketing and the most exposure. Of course, they've got other various events in and around the country. They've got regional offices, so there's always somewhere somehow somebody to get in touch with and see what types of events they have or what types of opportunities they have for people to get involved and help out.
So with the running and biking, I would assume those are activities that are difficult for somebody with MS to do, and that's probably one of the reasons why they target those kinds of activities. Are those simply to raise awareness, or do they actually generate money for the charity?
Both. And some people are affected by the disease differently, so depending on how they're being affected at that time, there are a lot of people with the disease participating actively in those events. But a lot of them are friends and family members will get out and have sponsors and raise donations and do the event for their loved one and then kind of help in that way.
Okay. Another one we wanted to spotlight was the Humanitarian Toolbox. Clayton, you have found out a little bit of information about that. Would you like to share that with us?
Yeah. So the first time I heard about the Humanitarian Toolbox was listening to the .NET Rocks podcast. And when we had them on a few weeks ago, that was brought up again. Doing a little research into it, the Humanitarian Toolbox came out of some much smaller group efforts after the 2004 tsunami that hit the East Asia. And so the Microsoft, .NET Rocks, and a couple other, NetHope, Crisis Commons, Geeks Without Bounds, those groups realized that there were a lot of small efforts all over the place with developers and people donating money to try and come up with ways to optimize the communication and the services that the first responders or emergency responders were using during those types of crises. And so they decided that instead of having 1,000 fractured different groups trying to help, that it would be much better to try and get those groups together to come up with a solution that could then be widely distributed and used for that type of event and even smaller events like just a simple blizzard or a whiteout or something. From that, it has been going since 2012. And they currently only have one project called Already, which is basically designed to help. It's designed to help those first responders communicate and make sure that they have a higher level of preparedness for when disaster strikes. And the ways that you can donate to the effort of a Humanitarian Toolbox is by either as a developer donating your time and helping to write the software. There's probably lots of different ways to do that. You can either help actually write the software, help do documentation, fix bugs, just whatever you can do to help in the time that you have available. But you can also just donate money if that suits your capabilities a little bit better.
Cool.
So Ash, here's one that I'm not super familiar with. WaterStep. What is that one?
Yeah. So WaterStep is a really fantastic organization. There are a lot of other organizations that sort of do similar things and sort of focus on things. But if you're not aware, a lot of the world has trouble getting good, clean, and drinkable, safe drinking water. And so there's a lot of different organizations and people that are trying to kind of help bring those rural or very rural impoverished areas and bring solutions to them to say, here's the water, or here's some clean drinking water. There's a couple different issues with the way that that you can provide that though to people. And one of the problems is first off, there's a cultural issue. So a lot of times one of the main ways that we purify or clean our water, like you can filter it, but that really doesn't, that may like make it look good, but it doesn't necessarily make it clean or safe to drink. And so one of the ways to use sterilize water is using chlorination in it. And most of our city waters around the US, which are pretty good actually, despite what most people think, they, you know, on the general sense of things, but they use some sort of some level of chlorination, and that's sort of probably one of the things that we generally sort of don't like about the taste of it, but it's something that a lot of us are sort of even used to, and we don't really notice it very, very much. But if you haven't been drinking any water that has any chlorine in it, then the chlorinated water is a distinct sort of hurdle to get past on a palate, you know, getting that used to. So when you bring these bring water into those situations, the other thing is a lot of these locations are very impoverished and they also are very rural. So if we are able to create a drill new wells and get you know, fancier or mechanical processes or more complicated processes that kind of get you better, get that better water, those things have to be maintenanced. And oftentimes the villages that they're using them simply don't have the means to kind of maintain those things. So what the way WaterStep has approached it, and sort of what's different about them versus some of the other water organizations, they really have tried to, they focus first on the education. So making sure that people understand, kind of getting that buy-in that you need, teaching them about why how the water makes them sick, teaching about the whole process sort of surrounding everything. And then the second thing they do is they get engineers to volunteer their time. And they work on creating a process that can be used basically where they can take almost anything that is available to those villages locally and then say, how do we turn the tools and things that they have available locally and then turn them into a method of purifying that water? So they may have like a very few pieces that they kind of bring in almost any situation, but they've learned like these, we can always expect to get these kind of barrels, or we can always expect them to have these sorts of things. And so they make a process that's very, very simple. And it makes it so that it's sort of a sustainable situation for those people. So they're really awesome because there's a couple different ways you can certainly directly donate to them. But they love volunteers. They also have like a shoe. You can donate your old shoes to them, and it doesn't really matter what the condition is, because they'll take some and use them if they're in good condition, or if they're in bad condition, they basically recycle them and get the materials out of them to be used for other things. So they have like these major shoe drives and other things. And then as engineers, if you're technical in any way or have any sort of training, they are always looking for people to sort of help. And then they obviously need people to go and visit. They need people to like actually go on the events where they go into these rural areas and actually install, work with people, educate people on sort of why does the water, why does it make them sick? You know, how do you promote those good hygienes and all that sort of stuff? It's a really fantastic organization, though.
Next from my notes is Habitat for Humanity. That's an organization that helps build places for people to live in poor and impoverished communities, for people that need housing, they're there to help. My sister actually worked there for many years and then left to go work at the Red Cross and has recently moved back to Habitat for Humanity. So probably a little bit more versed in it and then probably should spend more time talking to her about it. But that's another organization that they're always looking for donations, whether it be time or money. If you're handy and good with a hammer, if you want to help out, then they're always looking for volunteers to help with the actual building of houses. If you've maybe a contractor or have the ability to help get a better price on building materials, that can be a big help as well. So any way that you can help an organization like that, it's always much appreciated.
Well, and with Habitat for Humanity, I know that there is a way that you can help and you actually get something out of it other than, you know, feeling good that you helped. They have these stores that they set up in the communities. It's kind of like a hardware store, but it's filled with reclaimed materials from houses that have been torn down. And so you buy those items at a really, really good price, and then that money goes to help get new homes for people who need them.
Yeah, the Habitat Restore. We've got one actually not far from where we live here, and just going through and browsing and looking at some of the neat things that are available. It's a fun afternoon trip just to go and browse through some of that and maybe pick out something special for a project at home.
That's actually when we moved here to Columbus. That was the first place we went to help sort of get some of the furniture and the different pieces that we needed and some of the parts that we were just kind of, we were just moving in. So there was lots of needs to work on different things and found the three store definitely helped us a ton. And it's a place that people should definitely check out.
And I think the next one on the list that we have is the St. Jude's Children Research Hospital. That one helps a lot of children. They do all kinds of things. They do the research to find better treatments for the children. They help pay medical bills for families who can't afford it, right? And then they also actually treat children in their facilities, right? I think that's a great one.
Yeah, I've got a six-year-old boy at home, and he's perfectly healthy, and I can't imagine having to deal with a sickness, a disease, or something that would affect him negatively would just be devastating to me and my family. So my heart goes out to those that do have to deal with those types of things, and I'm really thankful that St. Jude's is there and available to them.
Do either of you know what kind of contributions they accept? Do they accept time and so I know they take I know they'll take monetary contributions, but do they actually take volunteers?
I'm not sure, but we've given a car to them, I believe. Actually, we had an old car that I didn't need anymore. So I do know that they often have programs like that where you can, may not be a money thing that you have, but instead of junking it, you just give it to them and they'll auction it or get anything they can get out of it for it. So it's pretty simple. Let's see, the ASPCA is a sort of next on our list here.
Yeah, I don't know that one. What is that? Animals?
Yeah,
that?
So they basically they're kind of for the prevention of cruelty to animals. American Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals, and they do a lot around to just sort of be the shelters for animals. And we actually, when we wanted to get a dog, we went and looked and got one from one of their shelters, which is one way you can, if you're looking to and add to your family as a pet, check out the animal shelters first before you just go buy another one from a breeder. I mean, some people have very specific desires that they're looking for, and no judgment there, but it is a great way to sort of, those shelters need volunteers. They need people to sort of care for the animals. They need money to stay running. But a great way is obviously to, adopt an animal, and then they don't have to take care of that animal. And they also, some of the money they make from adopting that animal, they can reuse to keep other animals going. So it's an excellent organization as well.
We've got a couple other in the list. I want to skip the next one, though. I am curious about Doctors Without Borders. I'm pretty sure I know what that is, but does either one of you have experience with that one?
Yeah, I don't have with Doctors Without Borders. I think there's a number of organizations that are sort of in the same vein. They may be even related, but when I was going to UC, we had this organization called Engineers Without Borders, and effectively they were just engineers who volunteer their time, basically to giving up their time to help in rural or very impoverished third world or and people that needed it. And it was a pretty cool way to kind of give back. And I would imagine that Doctors Without Borders is probably a similar situation where they're basically able to send doctors themselves will actually volunteer to take their services and go into places that don't have medical facilities and provide that care to people. And they obviously, if you're a doctor, that's great. As probably most people listening to our podcast are not doctors, they would probably relish, you know, monetary contributions to help send them in to those places.
Yeah, it looks like that's exactly what it is. The, you know, doctors traveling the world, going to places where they don't have medical care, and helping out the best way they can. And yeah, I mean that's a great one because it just helps people who otherwise really, really, really can't get the care. I mean, even, you know, we don't have free Medicare in the medical care in the United States, but you could still go into hospital. They can't necessarily refuse you. You just end up with some debt. But in some of these places that they go, there really is no medical care. So that's a great one to send some support to with some with a monetary donation.
I think probably the one that everyone has heard of, I don't know how much you guys have familiarity with, is the Susan G. Komen for the Cure. So that is obviously was started by Susan G. Komen and started in on her behalf, and is there for raising money for breast cancer research. Everyone is very familiar with the pink ribbons. So
I don't know if they started it, but I certainly saw a pink ribbon before I saw any other kind of ribbon. And now everybody's got a ribbon. That's a good one to donate to also, or get involved in some of the walking, running events that I know that they do. Ash, you've got one here that I really don't know what it is.
I threw it on there as sort of a curveball for us after we had kind of gone over things. The Pelotonia is one of the, when John was talking about sort of the National Multiple Sclerosis Society, he was mentioned they do some of the, they do races like the bike races where you can. So Pelotonia is actually a local one here in Columbus, and that I believe it. I know it's pretty very heavy here in Columbus. I think it's local here, but they raise a ton of money for cancer research, and the main way that they do that is through a massive bike ride. So that just happens. It pretty much consumes the city of Columbus and the surrounding areas. So it's a lot of fun ways to get involved. So that kind of brings us to there's a lot of different ways for us to give back, and we just kind of wanted to look at some of the different ways that you can do it. You know, maybe you don't feel like you have a ton of money, or maybe you don't feel like you have a ton of time, or just don't know what to do. So what are the kinds of things that you can do?
Yeah, I think Ash, you might have been the one to introduce me to the Amazon Smile program. And I believe that's just you pick a charity, and every time you purchase something in Amazon, part of the proceeds of the sale go to the charity of your choice. So it's just a way to take a little bit as you're doing your holiday shopping and give back to a charity that's important to you.
Yeah, it's a perfect time to do that one.
Now, does that one actually cost you any extra money, or is it just off the top from what Amazon would have gotten?
It's off of what Amazon would have gotten. It's sort of like the Amazon affiliate program, if you're familiar with that at all, where you can support like podcasters, or you could support a YouTube channel or something like that. But Amazon Smile is a way where you can support a charity that you're doing, and that's definitely something what's nice about the Amazon Smile, which is a little bit different than the Amazon affiliate program, is you can bookmark that. You can sort of sign up to Smile, and then you just go to smile.amazon.com, and every time you go to there, it will automatically link whatever you're doing on that site under that link to go anything you purchase to go to that charity, whereas the affiliate links are a little bit tricky.
Now, we had also, I mean, we've mentioned several times during the course of talking about some of the charities that we were talking about, that they have marathons and bike races and all kinds of different events that they do. But we also talked before getting started about some non-traditional things that wouldn't normally be considered charity, and they won't help you on your taxes, but they could actually be considered charitable actions. So what was one of those, John?
Just getting involved in like coding boot camps, being a mentor, helping out and speaking at user groups and meetups, maybe volunteering at local code schools or any of those types of things where you're just helping individuals or groups of people in some form or fashion.
Yeah, and we consider that donating to the community, donating your time and some of your skill. So even if you can't get out there and you know, donate some money to some of the charities, or maybe you don't feel like you're qualified to offer the type of time that they may need, maybe you can get out and present at a meetup, or just volunteer to help out at a code camp or something like that.
There's a lot of other things. So we, I mean, this episode could go on for a long time. A lot of local places, you know, wherever you're at, there are always soup kitchens and food drives and a ton of other opportunities for you to give. So we're just sort of naming some of the things that are larger, global, and sort of familiar to us.
And these are just a few of the charities that are near and dear to our heart. You can find them at sixfiguredev.com/charities. If you, dear listener, have some specific charities that you feel passionate about and you would like to get listed on our page or have us tweet out and just raise awareness about a specific charity, then hit us up. Let us know.
If you'd like this episode, please like, rate, and review on iTunes.
Find show notes, blog posts, and more at sixfiguredev.com.
And be sure to follow us on Twitter at Six Figure Dev.
This has been another episode of the Six Figure Developer Podcast, helping others reach their potential. I am John Calloway.
I'm Clayton Hunt.
And I'm John Ash.